Jericho was the green jewel of the Jordan. Even to this day, it was the city everyone wanted to live in, and in fact, it has been lived in for over 10,000 years. So desirable a place that the people who lived in it built walls to protect themselves from outsiders. And in fact, by the time of Joshua's day, they had actually built two sets of formidable walls. Joshua, Moses' lieutenant, had proved himself an able commander in his own right. And he knew to reach the promised land, they must go through Jericho. He didn't attack the city directly at first. Rather, he engaged in psychological warfare. He put his best, most impressive soldiers in the front, and behind him he put the brass section, the priests blowing their trumpets continually. And behind them, he put the Ark of the Covenant, symbolic of God's presence. And behind them, he put every man, woman, and child in the Hebrew tribes. And once a day, in complete silence, they walked all the way around the city. Now, maybe the story of Joshua sounds a little foreign to our ears, but it shouldn't. Our modern era has been defined by the breaking down of walls. If I say to you the words 11-9-89, do you recognize the importance of that date, 11-9-89? That was the day the Berlin Wall fell without a shot being fired. Who brought the wall down? Some say Ronald Reagan, some say Mikhail Gorbachev, some say the proliferation of computers. That meant information couldn't be controlled. But the truth is, the walls came down because two groups of unknown people exercised creative imagination. Someone in Hungary said, "What would happen? What would happen if we opened our borders with Austria?" And they did it. And 13,000 East Germans realized they could quickly get to Hungary without any problem. Then they could move over to Austria without difficulty and enter the free world. 13,000 East Germans did exactly that, putting great pressure on the East German government. A group of young people said, "What would happen if we descended on the Berlin Wall by the thousands?" So they did. 10,000 of them. And the East German guards let them go. And they climbed on that wall and they tore it down. The wall that defined the difference between totalitarian and democratic governments was brought down by acts of creative imagination. Go back 45 years. June 6th. 1944, the Atlantic Wall. Now there was a wall that dwarfed Jericho's, a wall built of hundreds of tons of concrete and steel, manned by barbed wire and every conceivable cannon and machine gun of every caliber, a wall designed by the Third Reich to protect Germany's kingdom for 1,000 years. Amazing wall, probably the most impressive wall ever built, held up the Allied troops in some places less than an hour. In other places, it held them up for only one day. This greatest wall ever built was brought down in a day. How? The great historian Stephen Ambrose gives one word: teamwork. I've pastored quite a number of D-Day survivors, and I said to them, "You owe your lives to a man you've never heard of, a Polish mathematician by the name of Marian Rejewski. Marian Rejewski realized that Hitler was going to be a plague upon the world, so he and some friends turned their mathematical talents to breaking the code the Germans used to pass special messages on to their hierarchy. He shared his research with American and British scientists, and they built a machine called Ultra that was able to decode all of the German high command's transmissions. Thousands of lives were saved on D-Day because the American commanders knew exactly what the Germans were doing. Teamwork. On D-Day, one of Germany's most powerful cannons was silenced by an 8-year-old boy. Yeah. How did he do it? His parents gave him the precise coordinates of where the cannon was located. This little boy at 8 years old hitched a ride to a distant city, found a French resistance fighter, gave him the coordinates, they translated to the British Navy, and on D-Day, they destroyed that humongous cannon without it ever firing a shot, saving thousands of lives. Why didn't the Germans notice the eight-year-old boy? Because he was blind. And they thought being handicapped, he couldn't be a problem. What they didn't realize was his blindness had given him a phenomenal memory. Teamwork. 16-year-old girl stopped a whole railway of Germany's most fearful tanks. How'd she do it? Used her eyes. She saw that while the tanks were heavily guarded, the railway was not. So she and some friends snuck into the rail yard, drained the motor oil from the cars, put in an abrasive powder given them by the French resistance who had received it from the British. And on D-Day, when those rail cars started to move, they all seized up. And none of the tanks could be delivered to the front. Teamwork. Not all walls are physical walls. I grew up in Montgomery, Birmingham, Alabama, in the 1950s and 60s. And I saw the walls that were erected to oppress people of color. And a young woman named Rosa Parks began to strike a blow against those walls by refusing to give up her seat to a white patron on a Montgomery bus. Now, alone, she wouldn't have made much impact. But her example inspired a bus boycott in my hometown of Montgomery. So that if you were out on the road, you would see scores of black women employed in white households as maids walking to work. And they walked day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year, until those laws of oppression were ruled unconstitutional. They brought that wall of segregation down by sheer persistence. The Hebrews encircle that city once a day. But on the fateful day, the seventh day, they arrange themselves and they carry with them an incalculable tool. Yes, the walls are high and formidable. Yes, there are two sets of them. But they carry with them the conviction that they have the Ark of the Covenant. And they carry the confidence that God is with them. And everyone in the Hebrew tribes are involved. Everyone. So when they march around the city and they blow the trumpet and the people shout, the walls come tumbling down. Were the Hebrews just that loud? I've often wondered if maybe the writer omitted a little detail like an earthquake or a tornadic wind. But whatever the case, the walls came down. And it was not just the people's victory, it was primarily God's victory. It was God's deliverance. But they took advantage of it because they believed that the God represented by the ark would give them the power to overcome every challenge. Teamwork, creative imagination, persistence, confidence in the power of God, universal participation in the enterprise. Those are tools that God's people can use in every age to bring down every wall. Even the walls around Vineville Baptist Church. What are those walls? We face the wall of a changing ethnic and cultural world. If you think about this neighborhood 10 years ago, it looks very different today ethnically and culturally than it did 10 years ago. It will look very different in 10 more years. Do we as a church have the courage and the creativity and the commitment to address the ethnic and cultural barriers that will bring into this people, people who may not look like us? The truth is, the people who live in this area change localities about every 5 years. If you say, hey, we just open our doors, they know we're here. No, they don't. We have to tell them. We have to go out and break down the walls. Do we have the courage and creativity and commitment to do that? We have the wall of a different world, a world that is largely secular. A generation ago, you could open the doors of this church and people would come in because they were raised to go to church. More people in this age grow up without any religious upbringing whatsoever. That's why we as a church do such things as a basketball league or a morning school. That's why we do such things as a singles ministry. That's why we need a divorce recovery group and a grief recovery group. We as a people of God have to create ministries that speak to the needs of people. They have grown up not knowing that they need the nurture of God. They don't realize that they need God's strength to nurture and strengthen their relationships, to mentor their children, to grow in their faith. They don't know that they're made for God. They don't know they'll only find real satisfaction in communion with God and God's people. We have to break down the walls. Do we have the courage and integrity and creativity to do that? Another wall is the wall between generations. During my ministry here, I have watched the baton of leadership pass from the older generation to the younger generation. And in another 5 years, that baton will be passed almost absolutely. The question is, will the younger generation rise to the challenge? Will they rise to the challenge of accepting that baton? One of Melissa's pastor friends said to her, "You know, we have a lot of young families in our church. They come to church once a month, and they think they're incredibly regular." A church cannot function that way. It requires sustained commitment. It requires incessant involvement. It requires sustained courage. Is the younger generation ready to rise to the challenge, not just of setting policy, but of sustaining church work? It is a question that we have to face as the baton is passed. Most of you didn't know it, but last week marked Lee's first year among us. She's had a marvelous first year and established a great foundation for a long and fruitful ministry, and yet there are at times when she feels like she's working within walls. She is struggling to find enough people to volunteer to work with our children during the Sunday worship service. Can you help her bring down those walls? She's creating wonderful programs for our singles, and they say, yeah, I'll be there, and then they don't show. Can you help her bring down those walls? Angela has been with us for 12 years. A long and fruitful ministry, but even now, she says, sometimes I feel like all I do is beg people to rise to the challenge of missions, to rise to meet service opportunities, to rise to fulfill worship chances. Can you help her bring down the walls? Every single year, I vote for beautiful, talented, spiritually committed young women that I regard so highly that I vote for them for deacon. And some of them would be elected, but then they say to the person, oh, I can't do it, I'm female. What? Some of these same young women think nothing of calling an ordained woman to be a minister here. They won't be the ordained themselves. I don't get it. Strong women of faith like Mary Eva DuBose and Freda Bird, they broke down those walls. Don't let them be rebuilt. You young women that we honor today, you young, amazingly talented, extraordinarily intelligent graduates, if this church or another church honors you by electing you deacon, have enough confidence in the confidence of the church to serve as they request. If you're in ministry, as a layperson or a minister, you're going to face walls. When I went to Charlotte many years ago, I felt walled in. No one from our community, no young families, no children came to our church. And so a group of us resolved that two or three times a year at every season, we would put something on the doorstep of the people around us. Some flyer, some trinket that would let them know of worship opportunities. And it began to crack the wall. A young member came to me and so excited, she said, my best friend and her family are going to start coming to your church. I said, what made the difference? She said, I asked her the same question, and this is what she said. Two or three times a year, for six or seven straight years, your church put a flyer or a pumpkin or a car or a Christmas ornament on our doorstep saying, we care about you. And after 6 or 7 years of receiving all of those tokens of care, we said to each other, these people really mean it. We decided there must be a movement going on, and we needed to join. Teamwork, creative imagination, persistence, universal participation, and confidence in the power of God that He will give us the insight and resources we need to break down walls. Those are our tools. Will we employ them? We're not meant to be an ark that saves a few of us sanctified folks and lets the secular world drown. We're meant to be a landing craft that brings resources of liberation and transformation to our world. Can you help? Help us bring down walls. The tools I've mentioned brought down walls in Jericho, Berlin, Normandy, and Montgomery. Let us use them here for the glory of God to maximize the potential of Vineville Baptist Church and its family of God. May we pray together. Lord, sometimes we are daunted by the enormity of the challenges that we face. Sometimes the walls seem too impossible to scale. But you have given us spiritual tools to accomplish spiritual goals. And if we share our talents together, empowered by your Holy Spirit, we can bring those walls down. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.